Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning. And we now have on the line, we have the Attorney General of Kansas, Mr. Derek Schmidt. Mr. Schmidt, how are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks, Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning. I've been looking over some of your news releases. You've been very, very busy the past couple of weeks. So let's just kind of talk about a few things that have been going on. Back on the 8th, one of the press releases said that the court revokes articles of incorporation of a Kansas company affiliated with a Chinese counterfeiter.
Right. So this is an interesting little case. You know, it's not news to anybody who follows the news at all that there are a lot of entities in China, some affiliated with the Chinese government, some not, that build counterfeit products. They counterfeit everything from, you know, soaps to high-tech digital equipment. And some of those entities then take their products out into the marketplace and compete against the real companies that build the real products. And so we have an ongoing intellectual property fight with the Chinese. And normally, that's a federal issue for trade negotiators or otherwise. It's not an issue for the state of Kansas. But in this case, what happened, one of these Chinese entities that builds water filtration systems and markets them mostly in Africa and lower-income parts of Asia, parts of the third world, water filtration systems, it has named itself Koch, K-O-C-H, just like Koch Industries in Wichita, because it turns out that Koch Industries has a subsidiary based in Massachusetts that also builds water filtration systems and sells them usually at or near cost in the third world. It's not a charitable entity, but it's not one of the big profit drivers. It's more of a public service branch of Koch Industries. Anyway, this Chinese affiliate, this Chinese entity that builds the knockoff product, created a P.O. box in California, which in turn it used to register a P.O. box in Johnson County, Kansas, which in turn it used to create a Kansas shell corporation calling itself Koch Membrane Systems, Inc., which happens to be exactly the same name as the real legitimate Koch affiliate based in Massachusetts. The whole point was to be able to go to customers in Africa and point to this Kansas company and say, see, we're the real Koch Industries. They're based in Kansas. We have a Kansas entity. And obviously it was all a sham. So when it came to our attention, we ultimately filed an action to dissolve that bogus shell company. And it's now dissolved by court order. But you never know what's going to wind up in your inbox in the morning in this job.
That is an interesting thing. I mean, to go through all of that just to say, hey, we're Koch Industries, just to, you know, where they can sell basically the same product. That, I mean, that's just a lot of work just to do that. But, I mean, I guess some places, I mean, they're, you know, they'll do anything they can to basically try to make a buck, I guess, even if it's highly illegal. A couple of days ago, actually, it was about a week ago, you announced that 199 crime victims would receive report. Support.
Right. The latest, we do this every month, as you know, and appreciate the chance to talk about it. This is the program that's been around since the 70s. No state tax money in it. There's some federal money in it, but there's also a lot of money that comes from court costs and an assessment. I guess it is a tax, but it's on inmate wages that they earn while they're in prison. So essentially, you have the guys that caused the harm paying part of the bill to the victims, to the people who were hurt.
And that's a good thing.
And this past month, we were able to help 199 Kansans who had been victims of crime through no fault of their own.
Yeah, so that's a good program that's still going on. And like you said, really no tax money from Kansas taxpayers. It comes from, you know, inmate wages and stuff like that. You do get some federal money for it, but that is a great program that, like you said, you guys announce that every month. So all doing a good job with that, helping out those folks, you know, like you said, that had some bad situations happen through no fault of their own. And then also an agreement was reached with PayPal for their charitable giving fund.
Right. PayPal, obviously a legitimate company, a good company. But even good folks sometimes do things that are mistaken or at least not consistent with the law. And we had accused PayPal of a very specific thing. One of the things that they do, they have a charitable giving operation on their platform that you can go on and give money to certain causes. But It turns out that in the past, when you gave money to PayPal's charitable giving platform, the money didn't always go to where you thought it was going. Now, it did always go to a charity. They weren't stealing it or anything like that. They sent it to a charity, but what they didn't tell you was they might sort of represent that you are picking which charity it goes to, but at the end of the day, the decision was not the donors. It was somebody to PayPal's, and we thought that was deceptive and that it had to be disclosed to people so folks know when they give where their money's going to go, or at least who's going to decide. PayPal ultimately agreed in a settlement, and they are now adding disclosures to their charitable giving part of their platform so that folks know when they give where the money will go, or at least they know who will decide where the money will go and that it may not be the donor.
And that's another good thing, especially if you think you're giving to a certain, you know, certain charitable foundation, but you find out later on, oh, that money didn't go there. That went to somebody else. And so at least this gives you the chance to know where it's going. And this could be before you donate the money. Is this, am I right on this, or is this only after you've donated the money?
Right. No, this is at the point of solicitation on the platform. So
okay.
It's before you donate the money. And, you know, again, the bigger picture here is back to, as we've talked before, how much better if you're going to give for a charitable purpose that you plan out your giving on your own terms, give local if that's something that you're comfortable with, so you know the money helps the cause that you set out to help. You cut out those middlemen.
Absolutely. Give locally as much as possible as well. And then there was another one that came out just this past week, and this has been a big one with a state law that regulates smoking tobacco in public indoor places, that it should also cover indoor vaping. As you know, we've had a lot of issues with vaping, and basically adding on to the Clean Indoor Air Act.
Right. So it's been a decade since the legislature and the governor enacted the Clean Indoor Air Act in Kansas, the smoking ban, the indoor public places smoking ban. I was in the legislature when that happened. I remember the knockdown, drag-out fight. People felt very, very strongly about it on both sides, and I understand that. It's a liberty interest versus you know, what other people would call a secondhand person's liberty interest or a health interest. But the legislature made that decision a decade ago. That balance has been struck. The issue now is that a decade ago, we didn't have e-cigarettes. We didn't have vaping, at least not in any widespread way. When we're talking about smoking, we were talking about igniting a cigarette or a cigar or rolled tobacco product with an actual flame. And today, we obviously still have that, but we also have these e-cigarettes, these vaping products, vape pens, and the whole range of products that don't actually use a flame. They may warm or heat the product to extract the nicotine or the chemicals from it that are then inhaled by the user. But there's not a flame. And I know that sounds technical, but it's a black and white letter issue in the smoking ban, the Clean Indoor Air Act, because that law defines smoking as igniting a tobacco product. Well, you're not igniting the tobacco product if you vape. So a lot of folks view that as a loophole. And we were asked our opinion, our legal opinion on it a while back. We said, yeah, that's right. Smoking ban does not apply to vaping indoors, so it's lawful to vape in a restaurant or maybe in a school, although some other laws or policies might apply there. But you get the idea at a workplace.
Right.
So we just suggested, look, we think probably the legislature would have covered all forms of nicotine delivery that has a secondhand effect if they thought of it 10 years ago. So here's a bill to do it. Legislature, you need to decide what you want to do.
So is this going to be a brand new piece of legislation, or is this just going to be basically like an amendment to the Clean Indoor Air Act?
Yeah, it's literally a 3 or 4 word amendment to the existing law. It doesn't expand the scope of the law. It doesn't change the penalties. It doesn't change where it's lawful or unlawful to smoke indoors. All it does is say if it's already unlawful in a place to smoke indoors, it is similarly unlawful to use an e-cigarette that has a vaping secondhand vape effect at that same location. So it literally changes the definition of smoking to add the term or use of an e-cigarette to it. That's what it does.
Okay, so that will be probably talked about this legislative session as the current legislative session kicked off last Monday. So again, a lot you've been very, very busy doing a lot of things, and we appreciate all the work that you do for the state of Kansas and looking out for all of us, because I know that I know that's your job, and we definitely appreciate everything you do for the state of Kansas, sir.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. It's a privilege to do it, and I am grateful for the chance to visit with everybody a little bit today.
And it was a pleasure to visit with you today, and I hope you have a great day, sir.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Attorney General Derek Schmidt from the state of Kansas. Been up to a lot of stuff as of late, and we appreciate talking to him at least once a month. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will have some Fox News at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.